So I said, we're gathered here to celebrate the most holy disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, by whose mercy we're all sitting here today in the holy Dham of Sri Vrindavan, in the wonderful temple of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram established by our Srila Prabhupada. It's only by his mercy we're sitting here today. Such an exalted personality who is intent on distributing the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even he wanted it to go out the world, throughout the world, and he encouraged our Prabhupada to take this message throughout the world, and he fulfilled that desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, that desire originally of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although I'm very fallen and lowly, to not fit to glorify such a great personality who was a lifelong brahmachari, I'm a completely fallen person, 20 years of my life eating meat, we won't describe which, in this holy place, and doing all types of sinful activities, no qualification whatsoever to speak about such a glorious personality, but somehow the Vaishnavas have requested me to speak something. So with your mercy and blessings, we'll try to speak something about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparandigam Adadanas Trinandan Dai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janmadan Mani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatide Satarini Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Niti Namini Sri Barsabhanavi Devi Daya Daya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuru Jila Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murte Dina Tarine Rupanuga Virudapa Pisidanta Dvanta Harine So to describe the life of Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, first we have to discuss a little bit about his great father, Srila Bhakti Manohara Thakur. Because at that time, the Vaishnava world, especially in Bengal, Vaishnava was considered a joke. If you wanted to insult someone, you call them a Vaishnava. Just somebody who chanted Hare Krishna to fill his belly and carried on illicit activities in the name of religion. After the glorious appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his great associates and the second generation, gradually things came to such a degraded situation in the Eastern Vaishnava world. That people had no respect for the Vaishnavas. Somehow or other, Bhakti Vinod, growing up in the that time modern world, he also took Western education, but somewhere along the line he happened to come in contact with great devotees and Although that time it was very difficult to find, we can't imagine it was very difficult in Bengal to find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. With great difficulty, he found a copy and he began to study. And by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, he understood the paramount, supreme importance of the message of Sriman Mahaprabhu and how it was being totally mishandled in the present day. And he wished, he had a great desire to spread the movement, because Mahaprabhu had told in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Priti Viti Acharada Nagarari Gram, Sarvata Prachor Haibe Maranam, that my name will be preached, Prithivi. Prithivi means earth. He didn't say Bharat. He said Prithivi, all over the earth, in every nagar, gram, every village, town, city, throughout the world. So he began this idea. He was first in our line of spiritual masters to preach in a language outside of Indian languages. He wrote the wonderful book, Lord Chaitanya's Life and Precepts, a copy of which reached McGill University in 1896, the birth year of our Srila Prabhupada. Very prophetic. But he felt himself inadequate to fulfill this mission. And he realized he didn't have much time left. At that time he was the deputy magistrate of Jagannath Puri and the de facto in charge of Jagannath Temple. Whoever DM, he's also ex officio the in charge of Jagannath Temple. And he was such an intelligent person, such a great personality. This was British India and he was a deputy magistrate. This was a position that ordinarily only Britishers were allowed to. But they recognized the great capacity and ability of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They made him deputy magistrate of such a holy place as Puri. And he had a rented bungalow right on the Grand Road, hardly 100 meters from the Singhadwara gate of Jagannath Temple, right on the Grand Road where Rath Yatra passes. And in 1874, on the fourth day of the dark half of the month of Falgun, he gave birth to a son. What happened was he was feeling himself inadequate to push on this mission alone, and he knew that now he didn't have much time left. So he was praying to the Lord, especially to Lord Jagannath, that you must give me someone of your own men to help me in this great mission. And so he got a dream that he should pray to Bimala Devi. In Jagannath Temple, there's one Devi deity named Bimala Devi. Actually, the Jagannath Prasad doesn't become Mahaprasad until it's offered to Bimala Devi. So he prayed to Bimala Devi, and as a result, he got on the fourth day of the dark half of the month of Falgun, just before Gaurpurnima, he got a wonderful son who was born with his umbilical cord wrapped around his body just like a Brahmin thread. In fact, it left a permanent mark on his body, even though he wasn't born in a Brahmin family. This became a big contentious issue later. So seeing this auspicious sign, then Bhaktivinoda was encouraged, this may be that ray of Vishnu that I was praying for. So a few months later was Rath Yatra, and ordinarily, under ordinary circumstances, Rath Yatra is completed in the procession is completed in one day, but somehow the cart wouldn't move in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's residence for 3 days. So since he was the magistrate, he had that ability, he had his wife he named his child Bimala Prasad because he had prayed to Bimala Devi. So Bimala Prasad. It was the mercy of Bimala Devi. So he had his wife mount the cart and place the child at the feet of Jagannath. immediately the child reached out for the lotus feet of Jagannath, and one of Jagannath's garlands fell down right on top of the child. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it. This is that ray of Vishnu that I was praying for. And as a child, he was incredible in his studies. He didn't, like we see in the lives of Narottam and many other great Vaishnavas, they didn't waste their time in frivolous games. But he was always studying the scriptures and always interested in spiritual topics. And in fact, as a young boy, he memorized all 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. I memorized one chapter and I've practically forgotten it, but he knew all 700 verses. He could quote them and give, even as a child, he could give some purport on those verses. And I guess it was about when he was 4 years old. This is a famous incident, because he was, shortly after his birth, he was sent to Ranagat, the ancestral home in Ranagat, which is on the way to Mayapur, several kilometers from Mayapur. And Bhaktivinoda brought home some mangoes. So he's only 4 or 5 years old. He took one of those mangoes and began to eat it. And Bhaktisiddhanta, not very heavily, because he was just a child, he said, "You have made a big offense. This was meant for the service of the Lord, and you have enjoyed it like this. This is very offensive." So even though he was just small, 4 or 5 years old, he took vow. "Throughout my life, I'm an offender. I will never eat mango again for my life." And Srila Prabhupada explains that even in later years, when he was an old man, we would offer him, "Please take some mango." "No, no, I'm an offender. I cannot take." Even in his old age, he refused. Throughout his life, he kept his vow. This is the power of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the determination and power of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then he went to college, but he would spend his time as much as possible in the libraries of the different colleges that he was, and universities where he was studying all the different books and all the different philosophies. He wanted to establish this Vaishnava philosophy, so he was studying all these books and studying the works of our acharyas. In fact, when he went to the university, it's described how he would always take wherever he went. He carried Prema Bhakta Chandrika and Prarthana of Narottam Das Thakur, and he would put them inside his study books. It looked like he was doing his homework. He was studying these books of the great acharyas like this. Sometimes they catch him and scold him, but he was always studying like this, and he excelled in all his studies. Even though he was reading the acharyas books instead of his lessons, he still excelled in all his lessons. And somehow or other he got interest in astrology. And he became very famous in the astrological world, Jyotishi world. Including he translated one and corrected. Because all of the books on Jyotish, on astrology, they have to be corrected every once in a while, because none of the planets move in a regular way. Just like we say that the Earth moves, 1 year is 365 days, but actually it's a little bit more, it's 365 and a quarter, so every 4 years we have to add an extra day to keep the calendar adjusted with the actual sun. And it's not even one quarter, every 1,000 years or so you have to make another correction. So all the planets are like that. So for centuries had gone by, nobody had corrected, so people were making wrong interpretations. So he went against, because the traditionalists, they wanted to use the old measurements. But he corrected all of them and wrote this Surya Siddhanta. And for doing that, he got the title Siddhanta Saraswati. And he excelled greatly in astrology. He finally gave it up. Later we'll tell about his meeting his spiritual master, but his spiritual master told him, "Just preach the truth and leave aside all ordinary, all mundane things." But he was such an astrologer, at the peak of his career in astrology, there was one fellow named Bapudev Shastri, who was mixing all of the Western astrology in with the Eastern astrology, and and thus indicating that our Eastern astrology was inferior. And so Bhaktisiddhanta preached very heavily against this and wrote many things about this. And finally there was a debate. By that time Bapudev was very old, so one of his most famous disciples spoke, and Bhaktisiddhanta defeated him, and so heavily defeated him that poor Bapudev, he peed in his pants. But later he gave up all his astrology. That's where he got the Siddhanta Saraswati from. And eventually Bhaktivinoda settled in Puri and moved the family to Puri. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta stayed there. He wanted a special place near Haridas Thakur's tomb. So Bhaktivinoda arranged just around the corner of what's now, because later he purchased a place called, is now known as Bhakti Kuti. But just around the corner, there's that road that comes straight from Haridas's Samadhi. That's called Sat Asan Road. Sat means seven. The Saptarishis all had their different places of worship. They had been given different places. So just around the corner is Giridhari Mat, one of the seven places where the Saptarishis perform. I can't remember which rishi was performing his bhajan there. But later, one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, Jagadananda Pandit, he worshipped his Radha Giridhari there, so it became known as Giridhari Mat. And so he arranged that Bhaktisiddhanta would do the worship there at Giridhari Mat and do his bhajan there. So he was very happy, and there was also many books available in Puri. Plus, about 100 yards from, 100 meters from Giridhari Mat is Govardhan Mat, which is the ashram of Shankaracharya. Somehow he has a very beautiful name for his mat, despite his philosophy. But anyway, it's called Govardhan Mat. And he spent hours and hours with who was the present Shankaracharya of Govardhan Mat, to such an extent that the people thought he was going to become a follower of Shankaracharya. But he was determined to learn the Mayavad philosophy in and out so that he could smash it. And later the Mayavadis, they became afraid of him. In fact, there was one conference, they advertised one conference, and somehow somebody had invited Bhaktisiddhanta. So then they said, all right, he cannot speak on any of the Puranas. It all has to be from Shruti, not from Smriti. So Bhaktisiddhanta agreed. They said only, and finally, they made the condition: you can only speak on the Vedas and Vedanta, nothing else. And he agreed. So then they canceled the conference. He became known, of course, because of this, as Singha Guru, Lion Guru. Just like I wrote one poem in honor of Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. The Mayavadi, what does it go? A lion among the saints, the Mayavadi faints. In you he marked the sign, he'll do the work in time. So he was a lion amongst the saints, Singha Guru. Then later he went to South India and he traveled around gathering books such as Krishna Bhavanamrita and other wonderful literatures, Gita Govinda, many books, and studied in different mats. He went to Sri Vaishnavas, he went to Madhvacharya, he went all over studying. And then he again returned to Puri and took up his place at Giridhari Mat. By that time, Bhaktivinoda had purchased the land just around the corner, directly kitty corner, from Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, and built his little bhajan kutir, Bhakti Kuti. Though unfortunately, that original bhajan kutir they knocked down just to make a restaurant, but anyway. Hare Krishna. So, there was one Radharaman Charan Das Babaji who began inventing different mantras and some off deviant philosophies. But he had become quite prominent because people, they don't know philosophy really, they don't know, mostly people are sentimental. So he had a great sentimental attraction amongst the people. So, but Bhaktivinod and Bhaktisiddhanta both preached against this. We know this mantra, we won't repeat it. This is not proper, this has not been chanted by any Mahajan, and has many discrepancies. Because Nitai Gaur are not Radhesham, they're Krishna and Balaram. In fact, here in Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada, because one ashram nearby chants this mantra, just to counteract them, chanted loudly over our microphone. We used to sing Nitai Gaur Radhesham Jai Krishna Balaram. So Prabhupada authorized this mantra for Krishna Balaram Mandir. So anyway, finally it got to the point, although Charan Das, as he was called, Charan Babaji, used to come and listen to Bhaktivinod's discourses and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's discourses, but in them he would criticize these new ideas and new mantras, and it finally became very bitter, and he refused to he broke off all relations with Bhaktivinod and Bhaktisiddhanta. But the people of the town, because people are sentimental, they don't know philosophy, they just know sentiment. So they were on the side of Charan Das Baba. And the situation became dangerous, finally, to the point where there was threats to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So then Bhaktivinod told him, better you go to Mayapur. Because since Bhaktivinod had established the real Yogapit temple in Mayapur, but at that time it was just far off corner on the earth, and you know, it's natural in this, nobody likes to be in the small temple, they want to go to the big temple. There's always a problem in this small temples, you try to cultivate, you make a devotee, then they run off to the Vrindavan or Mayapur or someplace. In those days nobody ran off to Mayapur, it was such a desolate place. It was very difficult to me, things were being mismanaged in so many ways, and this was a great weight on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's heart. So he told him, you go there and manage the Yogapit properly and bring it up and develop it. This will please me more than you remaining here. So then he went to Mayapur and tried to rectify the situation and encourage devotees to come and stay there and do service, selfless service. And at that time he decided to chant 1 billion names of the Lord. 3 lakhs a day. And he just made a little grass hut, and he sat in that grass hut. He was still managing the temple and everything, and still writing many things, and still doing his vow and following his vrat. Even even during that time that he was doing his vrat, it took him over almost 10 years to finish his vrat, 1 billion names. He also did preaching tours one time, because Bhaktivinod and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta both were preaching that one is a Brahmin by qualification, not by birth. So this was disturbing all of the smarta Brahmins. And especially in Eastern India, it became a big deal because Manartam Das and Shamananda were both not non-Brahmin by caste. They had preached very heavily there, and their followers were under attack. And the Smartas arranged a big gathering where they completely smashed this idea that a non-Brahman could become a Brahman or that he could become a guru, and this was a great challenge. So then Madhusudan Goswami and from Radharaman Temple, who was a good friend of Bhaktivinod Thakur and admired him very much and also understood that one is not a Brahmin by caste but by qualification. And Bisvambara Nandadev, who was follower of Shamananda. Shamananda was the largest branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism at that time. So they organized a big conference, Brahmano Vaishnav. And Bhaktivinoda wanted to go, but by that time his rheumatism was bothering him so much he couldn't. And he was crying, is there no one who can go and preach the real Siddhanta? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote a summary of what he would present, and Bhaktivinoda was so joyful. He said, "Yes, please go." So the opposite party, they also came and were milling around, and they also eventually demanded also time to speak. But when Bhaktisiddhanta spoke, because sometimes we're very proud, we know, especially Bhagavad Gita verses there, Chatravarnamayasa guna karma vibhagasa. This is by quality and work. And we know so many verses. But if you meet a real Mayavadi, a real smarta Brahman, just like the flow of the Ganga, they can present verses from the Puranas that say, nobody, you have to be born in a Brahman family to be a Brahman, you have to be born in India to be a guru or a Brahman. They can, like the flowing Ganga, they can chant verses in front of you and spin your head around. So it was not a very difficult thing. But our Goswamis, nana shastra vichara naikinipa, nana shastra vichara naikinipa, sad-dharma. There may be so many recommend. It's ideal, of course, if someone is born in India and someone is born in a Brahmin family, but that's not the end. The sad-dharma, the real dharma, the eternal dharma, is anyone who shows the qualities of a Brahmin, he's a Brahmin. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he came to this meeting, and Madhusudan Goswami from Radharaman, he greeted him very nicely, gave a nice garland. Visvambaranandadev Goswami also greeted him very nicely. Then he spoke, and he began to speak so many verses glorifying the Brahmins, and the opposing party became very happy. Then he began to throw out verses glorifying the Vaishnav as greater than the Brahmin. The opposing party became very upset. And finally, after 3 days of this meeting, Bhaktisiddhanta gave the final conclusion, and everybody was cheering like anything. He thoroughly defeated all the arguments of the opposing party and established that Vaishnava is above the caste system, and he can become a guru if he's qualified. And everybody was cheering like anything. The opposing party, they slinked out of the meeting with their heads dejected. And everybody rushed forward. And we know Bhaktisiddhanta, he never liked to have people touch his feet. But the crowd was pressing forward. And the police, they didn't know what to do. Everybody was coming to touch his feet. So finally, they brought Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they brought a bucket of water. And they forcibly took him, dumped his feet in the bucket of water, then brought a big tub with more and more water and mixed it all together with his foot dust water and sprinkled over the crowd in order to solve the situation, bring law and order like this. So many times Bhaktisiddhanta had to face these types of things. So eventually Bhaktivinoda made his place, his Svananda Sukhada Kunj, there in Mayapur. And Bhaktisiddhanta was writing his Anubhashya, his commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he would read it before his father. But his father was becoming very, very old. Finally, in around 1914, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered into the eternal lila of pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Meanwhile, we'll go back a little ways, back in history. Bhaktivinoda encouraged, while living at Svananda Sukhada Kunj, he encouraged his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that he should take shelter of Gorkhasur Das Babaji. Gorkhasur Das Babaji spent most of his time in across the river in Navadvip, but he used to come and he'd live. There was the awning that goes over the boat, that was old abandoned one in the yard of Svananda Sukhada Kunj. So he used to live under that and listen to the discourses of Bhaktivinoda. He was very happy. And used to love Bhaktivinoda Thakur very much. And he was although he was quite illiterate, he couldn't even write his name. Although when he spoke, he could give all the conclusions of the scriptures. It was quite amazing. So we know Bhaktisiddhanta, he had gotten this Siddhanta Saraswati title because of his great learning. And when his father told him to take shelter of Gorkhasur, that was a bit of a shock because everybody was after him. All the gurus of that time, they wanted to get Bhaktisiddhanta as their disciple. They would be very proud to have such a disciple. But he saw the nefarious activities that they were doing, that nobody was doing pure bhakti and they were engaged in illicit activities behind the scenes. So then he himself writes that I was very proud of my learning and my qualifications and my morality, but as soon as I met my Prabhu, he used to call his Gorkhasur Das Babaji his Prabhu, as soon as I met my Prabhu, everything was, I was shown that everything that I held in, of any value was nothing but dust. And I realized myself as the most fallen, wretched living entity on this planet. But Gorkhasur Das Babaji kept refusing to initiate him. He said, I don't have the order from Mahaprabhu. He'd give different excuses. Finally, Bhaktisiddhanta was so persistent that finally Gorkhasur Das Babaji took this tiger skin cap that had been given to him by Bhagwan Das Babaji in Suryakund. He gave him that. He gave him some puja paraphernalia that also he had gotten, and some knotted up threads that were for counting the names. And he gave him the wonderful name, Sri Barsabhanavi Devi Daita, the beloved of Srimati Radharani Das. And he said, I was completely smashed. I was very proud of my learning, I was very proud of my morality, I was very proud of my everything, my great birth and everything, but my spiritual master showed me that everything I took valued was dust, nothing but dust. And he gave me the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Then in 1915, Srila Gorkhasur Das Babaji also left this world. And because he was living in a latrine in Navadvip, and many people tried to imitate him, people tried to become his disciple. There was one fellow who took shelter originally of Bhakti Vinod and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but seeing they're managing all the things at the Yoga Pit, he became a little disappointed that they're managing things in this world. He couldn't understand the yukta vairagya, using everything for the service of the Lord. So he went across the river and joined, moved, he cleaned out a toilet and lived next door to Gorkhasur Das Babaji. And even Bhaktisiddhanta would come there, he would tell him, Babaji's busy right now, but hearing the voice, Gorkhasur would always come out, and Gorkhasur also called him my Prabhu. They both called each other my Prabhu. And eventually one time he came, and that person, so-called Babaji, who, because people were giving donations, and he was taking all those donations and buying nice milk sweets and eating very, and you know, if you fill your belly with lots of milk, then, you know, lots of milk sweets and things like that. So nighttime he was having illicit activities. So finally one day when he tried to stop Bhaktisiddhanta from coming and was trying to send him away, Gorkhasur came out of his latrine and began to blast him like anything and revealed in front of everybody all the nefarious activities this fellow was doing, and in shame he put his head down and never returned. So eventually, 1915, Gorkhasur also entered into the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So the news got to Bhaktisiddhanta, so he came there. So everybody wanted to give him samadhi, because they knew if we have his samadhi in our mutt, our ashram, our temple, we can make lots of money. And the police also expected some law and order trouble, so they also appeared there on the scene. And everybody was arguing, and Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, my Prabhu was pure Vaishnava, and nobody can touch him unless he's totally pure. If he touches him, he'll be destroyed. And I'm his only disciple, so I have the right to give him samadhi. And so there was a big discussion. And finally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, only a person who for the last year or for the last 6 months, nay, for the last 1 month, for the last 3 days, anyone who has not had illicit connection with a woman, he can touch my Gurudev and give him samadhi. And the police said, well, what is the evidence? He said, whatever, I will accept their word. And everyone put their head down and walked away and left Bhaktisiddhanta alone. Then there was some people, because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji had said that when I die, you drag me through the streets of Navadvip so people can see the face of someone who couldn't attain love for Krishna. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta realized that's just his humility, but there was making agitation like this. But somehow Bhaktisiddhanta was able to stop this and gave him samadhi on the other side of the river, Navadvip side of the river. They had some plot that was donated, but later the Ganga came there, so he had to move it to his later we'll hear how he established Sri Chaitanya Mat not far from the Yogapit, and so his samadhi has been moved there. So then Bhaktisiddhanta went into a deep depression. My two well-wishers had left this world, because he was showing all his books to Bhaktivedanta, his father. His father was helping him edit them. Now I have no one. Who will I show my writings to? And he would recite what he was writing to Gaur Kishore. And now my two Prabhus are gone. Who will I associate with? And he went into a big depression and practically stopped his preaching with just in name only managing the affairs of Yogapit. But one day he got a dream. He saw Lord Chaitanya and all his associates, Rupa Goswami, everyone. He saw his spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He saw his father, Bhaktivinoda. They said, just go and preach. He said, but I have nothing. Don't worry. We're with you. We'll give you everything. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about a thing. So then he decided to come out of his... He came next morning. He was very bright and happy. He began his preaching. He got a little place in Kaligat. I want to say Kaligat, remember not Kaligat, where he set up a printing press, because he realized that Mayapur was a very far off place. If anything happens to the printing press, you'll never get anybody to come out to Mayapur. In those days, it was just a far off corner of the earth. So he rented a place in Kaligat. He set up his press. He knew everything about the press, even how to fix it if it broke down. He knew everything. He was just incredible intelligence. We can't imagine. Then began his preaching, and he began touring around different places and spreading the Vaishnava Dharma. Finally, he, in 1918, seeing that there was nobody qualified to give him sannyas, on Gaurpurnima Day of 1918, he sat in front of a picture of his spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, with the Tridanda, because he had studied this Tridanda sannyas when he was in Ranganath, in Sri Rangam. And he gave himself a sannyas, and later he inaugurated at Sri Chaitanya Mat the beautiful deities of Gandharvika, Mahaprabhu Gandharvika Giridhari, and started construction there. Then he was going, and many people were attracted by his life and his sincerity and his philosophy, his presenting the absolute truth. His spiritual master told him, just present the truth and leave aside other things. So he left aside his astrology, all these other things, and just was preaching the absolute truth and smashing any deviant philosophy. What is the apasadanta dvanta hari? All this apasadanta dvanta he would smash. And Harine, destroy it. And many young people became attracted to him, and he began. We could go on forever talking about him, and he established 64 Gaudiya Mutts all over India, even in South India, and the king of Jaipur in Orissa is one Jaipur. He donated some land in Madras. They started the Madras Gaudiya Mutt. This way he established 64 mutts. He even sent some of his disciples to London. We know Ban Maharaj went there, and also, I can't remember, some other went later, and in Germany also he tried his preaching. In Bangladesh he also did a preaching journey. On that preaching journey it was one great businessman who was a big admirer and supporter of Bhaktisiddhanta. He went on that preaching tour. And he said, but your Guru Maharaj was a bhajananandi. He just sat in one place and did bhajan. So how is it that you're going everywhere, all over the world, preaching and shaking up things? He said, just like on this boat, there's an engine that's going, wah, 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 making lots of noise and lots of sound is coming. But there's a little battery sitting there beside the engine. He's not doing anything, but without that little battery, that engine doesn't run. So my spiritual master, he's the engine for all of my preaching. He's the battery for all of my preaching. I'm a big engine, but without that little battery there to give me strength, I cannot do anything alone. And he established Gaudiya Math in Dhaka. In this way, finally he established a place on Ultadanga Road in Calcutta. His Guru Maharaj had told him, don't go to the material world, Calcutta. But he took that as that wherever I go, I should make it Vrindavan. So he established a mutt on Ultadanga Road, and we know that Prabhupada's friends, they began to attend the lectures there, and they tried to get Prabhupada to come, but Prabhupada was, he had seen so many bogus sadhus in his life. His father, Gaur Mohan Day, used to invite so many sadhus, but he, as he grew older, he knew their activities. So he said, no, I've seen all these bogus sadhus. I don't. No, this is not a bogus one. You have to come. So finally they forced Abai to come. And as soon as he walked in the door, 1922, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you're an intelligent young man. You know the English language. You should preach the message of Mahaprabhu in English. He said, but we're a dominated country. Who will listen to us? He said, the message of Mahaprabhu doesn't matter on the political situation or any situation. It is the immediate necessity of humanity. And he spoke in such a way, Prabhupada among his friends, he was never defeated. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta smashed him. And then he realized the beauty of his words. And after the meeting, he came out and his friend said, what do you think? He said, the message of Mahaprabhu is in perfect hands. And then he tried his best as a householder to help in so many ways. Later, in 1936, in December, this time Bhaktisiddhanta was in Puri, but he had some trouble with his heart. And he told them, take me to Calcutta. So they went back to, by that time he had opened up Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. This was something very marble temple and everything, very opulent. And he was disappointed. We know the people were fighting over which room I'm going to take over, and the better we sell the marble and print books. And we know that here in Radhakund, just near to us, this is where Bhukta Shushan was born. He was camping there one time, and they were walking on the Sangam, and Bhaktisiddhanta told our Prabhupada that if you ever get money, print books. So book distribution was born in Radhakund. So anyway, 1936, at the end, somewhere in the beginning of December, he wrote a letter that you have so many disciples, you're doing so much service. I'm just a householder, what can I do? Please give me some service. And December 13th, 1936, he wrote back to him. He said that you know English, you preach the message of Mahaprabhu in the English language, it will be good for you and for those who hear you. So Prabhupada took this letter to his heart. And then it was on December 31st, 1936, shortly after he, from Puri, came to Calcutta, he stayed at Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. And the day before, they had tried so many things, and his health was deteriorating and deteriorating. And the day before, he called Sridhar Maharaj, told him to chant Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And the next morning, 5:30 in the morning, on the 1st of January, morning before, he told everybody that we just want to be the dust of Rupa and Raghunath and give up everything and push on the message of Mahaprabhu. And you all cooperate together. He told them to, just the day before he left, he said, you form a governing commission and push on jointly this process, and you cooperate together and push on this message of Mahaprabhu. And he named different people and thanked them for their service to the mission. And then somewhere around 5:30 in the morning, one devotee named Pranavananda, he was massaging Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and then another devotee, Krishnadas, came to relieve him, and Bhaktisiddhanta woke up and said, who's there? He says, Pranav. He said, oh, Pranav. And then Krishnadas said, Maharaj, you're all right? And then he said, oh, Krishna, Krishna, and left this world. And amazingly, all the clocks in the mutt stopped exactly at 5:30. You can still go to his room there in Bagh Bazar and see the clock is there at 5:30. Which is the time Radha and Krishna, just before they're waking up, they're lying together, they're practically merged as one body, indicating Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the exact time when Radha and Krishna merged as one body, as practically as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he entered into the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And all the clocks stopped ticking, but that ticking was replaced by crying. Everybody was crying very bitterly, but somehow they managed to do all the ceremonies that had to be done, washing his body with sandalwood water and so many things, and putting tilak on his body. And then they had a huge procession. By that time the word got out, huge procession to Sheldon station, and a special car was arranged for him to go to Krishnanagar. From Krishnanagar, they took his divine body on the top of a bus to Swarup Ganj, and from there they took a boat across to Mayapur, and then by carrying him on their shoulders, they took him to the mutt. But those days, things took so long. By the time they got, it was nighttime. It was late at night when they reached the mutt. And they took him on procession to all Srivasangan and all the holy places, and Yogapith, and all around his Sri Chaitanya Mutt to darshan. Then they placed him on an asan and had kirtan throughout, because it was late to do the samadhi, so they kirtan all night long. Then in the morning they began the digging, and they placed him in samadhi and poured the salt. Sridhar Maharaj was there. He says, I couldn't, when it got up to the neck, I couldn't watch it go over his head. And they place him in samadhi, put a tosi pad on top, and this way the samadhi ceremony was completed 2 days after his disappearance. And if you go on dandavats.com, they have old newspaper clippings from 1937, because he left on the New Year's Day of 1937, early in the morning. And they have old newspaper clippings of all the, many days afterwards, the city of Calcutta had a memorial service, and all these clips, they show the procession with his body to Sheldon station, and many, many different, you can see. It's in the, you have to scroll down on the right side, they have all kinds of little, it's not in the main body of Dandavas, but on the right side, you scroll down a ways, you can see all these old newspaper clippings from 1937. So we're all sitting here today on this auspicious occasion that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta entered to the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I said in the beginning that it's not proper that such a fallen person as myself present this thing, but actually, considering everything, it is the biggest glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that such a sinful person as myself can be reformed and sit here and talk about this great personality. This is the greatest glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that he is our great savior who brought us here to the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki. So there's hundreds and hundreds of things I wanted to say. Of course, time is going on. If anybody has anything else, there's favorite memory. One of my favorite memories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I don't remember which Gaudiya Math happened, but the Vice Chancellor of BHU, Bharat Hindu University, is a very prestigious institution in Benares. He came to visit the Math. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, he said, I'm busy right now. You sit in the temple room, the boys are sitting there polishing the brass. You sit with them and I will answer your questions after some time. After some time he again came, he said, I'm still busy. You sit there with those boys. So he was sitting there in the temple room, nothing to do, and these boys are polishing the brass, very menial service. He's the Vice Chancellor of Banaras Hindu University. He picked up some brass and some polish and he began to also polish. So the third time he came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, what is your question? He said, I have no question. All my questions are answered. So by serving, this was Bhaktisiddhanta's message, that the only valuable thing in this world, he said all his learning and everything was dust. His spiritual master showed it to him. Only valuable thing in this world is the holy name of Krishna and the service of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anybody else want to add their favorite pastime of... No, there's hundreds of things to say. Or... All right, Kartikeya pastime, to encourage the younger generation. The younger generation needs lots of encouragement, especially from the older generation. Sometimes you run, I'm proud of the type, you should serve me, but we should encourage the younger generation. So, one time, many, many years ago, before they even called Prabhupada as Prabhupada, Prabhupada had a servant named Kartikeya, very dear God brother who's longer in this world, so you won't find this story on any of the memory series because he's already left this world, but he personally told me this story. So they were in Hawaii with Govindadasi and Gorsundar and all that. So he was cooking and doing everything and serving Prabhupada, and he was very, very wonderful servant of Prabhupada. So one day, Govindadasi came back from the market and she had wheat germ. Now, I've never met anybody in India who knows what wheat germ is. But anyway, somewhere inside the wheat grain, there's two little leaves that later will sprout. You take those and it makes a very healthy thing. Anyway, the point is, even if you don't know what wheat germ is, it's not the cream of wheat, the suji, that we usually make halava with. So Kartikeya thought, next time Prabhupada asks for halava, then I'll make it with the suji. I'll make it with the wheat germ. And Swamiji will be so pleased. Swamiji will be so pleased. So one day it rained, like it may do today, and it did yesterday. So it became a little cold. Actually, the mornings have warmed up a bit. But anyway, the weather is a little cooler. So when it's cold, Prabhupada like halava, it's full of ghee and grains, makes you nice and warm. So he told Kartikeya, you please make some halava. So Kartikeya went into the kitchen, he got out the wheat germ, and he said, Swamiji is going to be so pleased. And he began to cook the halava with the wheat germ. And his whole meditation was, Swamiji will be so pleased, Swamiji will be so pleased. He offered it to the deities, he made a bowl, he brought it into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada took one look and said, what is this? Halava means suji. And with his left hand, he said, take it out. Now, if you reject something by left hand, that's very heavy. He said, take it out. So Kartikeya was a very emotional type of person, Bhavabhuk. So that practically destroyed him. His whole meditation was that Swamiji be so pleased, and Swamiji said, take it out. What is this? Take it out. So he went into the temple room, he sat in front of the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he began to pray that I was trying to please your spiritual son, Swamiji, but somehow he's become upset with me, I don't know what to do. And he began to cry. He was crying in front of the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All of a sudden he heard Prabhupada's voice, Kartikeya? Kartikeya? He came running to Prabhupada's room. He said, bring that halava. So Kartikeya brought the bowl of halava with great gusto. Prabhupada finished off the bowl. He said, bring some more. Then he brought some more. And Prabhupada just ate it with great gusto. He finished off the whole pot of halava. And Kartikeya told me he learned two things from this. One, he was sitting in front of the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So Prabhupada is not alone. Behind Prabhupada, stretching all the way back to the lotus feet of Krishna, there's a whole chain of spiritual masters. And second thing he understood was Prabhupada always said the grandfather is more merciful than the father. Just like I know in my own life, my grandfather had a little, nowadays we call convenience store, all types of things. So one side was all the chocolates. So we used to always, myself and all my brothers and sisters, we go to that side of the store and get chocolates from our grandfather. And my father, who had to pay all our dental bills, he would come and say, no, 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 no. And grandpa, behind the back, he would give us. So grandfather, he's more merciful than the father. So you may be thinking that we didn't get association of Prabhupada like you guys. We didn't see him. We didn't hear him. But you have Prabhupada as your grandfather's spiritual master, and he will be more merciful to you than to us. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes? Nothing to read.
Story. It was about 20 years ago. I was sitting with Arisari Prabhu in Alachua. It was Prabhupada's appearance day. So we were back and forth telling stories about Srila Prabhupada. So I told this one story about, it was 1973, and it was when the first time I got to go to Mayapur with Prabhupada. And he went over to Nandweep to visit his godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj. And Sridhar Maharaj was out on the veranda, his bed, he was sitting on the veranda, and he was just sitting in the bed. He wasn't well at that time. And Prabhupada, they got a chair, he was sitting in a chair next to him, and I was sitting on the floor next to Prabhupada. So, of course, they had a very lively conversation, and Prabhupada was telling him about all the books that were being distributed in the U.S. A book distribution was going on every day. We were distributing thousands of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatams. And then he looked at me and he said, if we get $10 for a book, he said, not that they're being given away, he said, we're getting good money, so $10, isn't that right? Should we give it? Yes, Prabhupada. And then he looked at Maharaj and he said, and we want you to come to the USA. He said, I have so many disciples, I have so many temples. He said, and they need training. He said, I have so much to do. He said, I could use some help. He said, you please come. He said, you go to any temple you want. He said, if you sit there, he said, and you can help. He said, and Srupa Kirti, he'll go with you, he'll be your servant. Isn't that right, Srupa Kirti? And Sridhar Maharaj looked at Prabhupada and he said, maybe next lifetime. And then they changed the subject. So I told that story next to me, Arisari was sitting there. And he said, I was with Prabhupada in 76 when he visited Sridhar Maharaj, and he said the same thing. He said the exact same conversation was going on. But unlike me, Hari Sari, he would ask Prabhupada questions, clarifications. He said I was massaging Prabhupada at night. And I said, Prabhupada, you asked Sridhara Maharaj to come to help in his time, to come to the U.S., help with the disciples. And we both knew Prabhupada did everything himself. He didn't need any assistance. So we said, why did you say that to Sridhara Maharaj? And Prabhupada said, oh, he said in 1936, there at one of those meetings in Bombay, he said, Prabhupada said to me, so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he said to me, Sridhara Maharaj, he's a very good speaker. He knows the philosophy very well, he said, but he's very shy. He said, so you encourage him, he said, to preach, to go to the West and preach like that. Hmm. So what was so amazing, every time Prabhupada saw Sridhara Maharaj, he just repeated what he heard from his spiritual master. Hmm. And this is always what Prabhupada says, why he was successful. Every order from the spiritual master was the essence of everything a disciple does. So Prabhupada was perfect because he followed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur perfectly. He followed his spiritual master, and that's the secret to success. So even though Prabhupada was successful, as soon as he would see him, he would say, you come and help. You come and help preaching to the Westerners. Because that was his order. Mm-hmm.
I was also just remembering that after they placed him in Samadhi, then they asked Sridhara Maharaj to sing Jayani Lo Prema Dana. And then they sang another song of Bhakti Manod. And then they read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastime of the passing of Haridas Thakur. Then they did Bhog and Hartika, and that was the Samadhi ceremony. So then what time is next program? 12:45?
Yeah, 12:45 after the temple closes. We'll just have the Pushpam Juli ceremony.
No, I did. And then 1:30 there's feast for everyone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.